Chapter 68. I do my duty, and I raise the dander of my fellow critters, as I wish to serve, apostrophe said Scatter in a low voice, looking down the road and rocking still. They rile up rough, along of my objecting to their selling Eden off too cheap. That's human matter. Well, apostrophe, Mr. Scatter, apostrophe said the general, assuming his oratorical deportment. Sir, here is my hand, and here my heart. I esteem you, sir, and ask your pardon. These gentlemen are friends of mine, or I would not have brought them here, sir, being well aware, sir, that the lots at present go entirely too cheap. But these are friends, sir, these are particular friends. Apostrophe, Mr. Scatter was so satisfied by this explanation, that he shook the general warmly by the hand, and got out of the rocking chair to do it. He then invited the general's particular friends to accompany him into the office. As to the general, he observed, with his usual benevolence, that being one of the company, he wouldn't interfere in the transaction on any account. So he appropriated the rocking chair to himself, and looked at the prospect, like a good Samaritan waiting for a traveler. Heyday! Apostrophe apostrophe cried Martin, as his eye rested on a great plan which occupied one whole side of the office. Indeed, the office had little else in it, but some geological and botanical specimens, one or two rusty ledgers, a homely desk, and a stool. Heyday! What's that? Apostrophe apostrophe, that's Eden, apostrophe said Scatter, picking his teeth with a sort of young bayonet that flew out of his knife when he touched a spring. Why, I had no idea it was a city. Apostrophe, hadn't you? Oh, it's a city. Apostrophe, a flourishing city too. An architectural city. There were banks, churches, cathedrals, marketplaces, factories, hotels, stores, mansions, wharves, an exchange, a theater, public buildings of all kinds, down to the office of the Eden Stinger, a daily journal, all faithfully depicted in the view before them. Dear me, it's really a most important place. Apostrophe cried Martin turning round. Oh, it's very important, apostrophe observed the agent. But, I am afraid, apostrophe said Martin, glancing again at the public buildings, that there's nothing left for me to do. Apostrophe, well, it ain't all built, apostrophe replied the agent. Not quite. Apostrophe, this was a great relief. The marketplace, now, apostrophe said Martin. Is that built? Apostrophe, that? Apostrophe apostrophe said the agent, sticking his toothpick into the weathercock on the top. Let me see. No, that ain't built. Apostrophe, rather a good job to begin with, eh, Mark? Apostrophe apostrophe whispered Martin, nudging him with his elbow. Mark, who, with a very stolid countenance, had been eyeing the plan and the agent by turns, merely rejoined uncommon. Apostrophe apostrophe, a dead silence ensued, Mr. Scatter in some short recesses or vacations of his toothpick, whistled a few bars of Yankee Doodle, and blew the dust off the roof of the theater. I suppose, apostrophe said Martin, feigning to look more narrowly at the plan, but showing by his tremulous voice how much depended, in his mind, upon the answer, I suppose there are several architects there? Apostrophe apostrophe, there ain't a single one, apostrophe said Scatter. Mark, apostrophe whispered Martin, pulling him by the sleeve, do you hear that? But whose work is all this before us, then? Apostrophe he asked aloud. The soil being very fruitful, public buildings grow spontaneous, perhaps, apostrophe said Mark. He was on the agent's dark side as he said it. But Scatter instantly changed his place, and brought his active eye to bear upon him. Feel of my hands, young man, apostrophe he said. What for? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Mark, declining. Are they dirty, or are they clean, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe said Scatter, holding them out. In a physical point of view they were decidedly dirty. but it being obvious that Mr. Scatter offered them for examination in a figurative sense, as emblems of his moral character, Martin hastened to pronounce them pure as the driven snow. I entreat, Mark, apostrophe he said, with some irritation, that you will not obtrude remarks of that nature, which, however harmless and well-intentioned, are quite out of place, and cannot be expected to be very agreeable to strangers. I am quite surprised. Apostrophe, the company SA putting his foot in it already, apostrophe thought Mark. He must be a sleeping partner fast asleep and snoring company must. I see. Apostrophe, Mr. Scatter said nothing, but he set his back against the plan, and thrust his toothpick into the desk some 20 times, looking at Mark all the while, as if he were stabbing him in effigy. You haven't said whose work it is, apostrophe Martin ventured to observe at length, in a tone of mild propitiation. Well, never mind whose work it is, or isn't, apostrophe said the agent sulkily. No matter how it did eventuate. Perhaps he cleared off, handsome, with a heap of dollars. Perhaps he wasn't worth a cent. Perhaps he was a loafin' rowdy. Perhaps a ring-tailed roarer. Now, apostrophe, all you're doing, Mark. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Martin. Perhaps, apostrophe, pursued the agent, the main plants of Eden's raising. No. Perhaps that desk and stool ain't made from Eden lumber. No. Perhaps no end of squatters ain't gone out there. No. Perhaps there ain't no such location in the territory of the great United States. Oh, no. Apostrophe, I hope you're satisfied with the success of your joke, Mark, apostrophe said Martin. But here, at a most opportune and happy time, the general interposed, and called out to Scatter from the doorway, to give his friends the particulars of that little lot of 50 acres with the house upon it, which, having belonged to the company formerly, had lately lapsed again into their hands. You're a deal too open-handed, general, apostrophe was the answer. It is a lot as should be rose in price. It is. Apostrophe, he grumblingly opened his books notwithstanding, and always keeping his bright side towards Mark, no matter at what amount of inconvenience to himself, displayed a certain leaf for their perusal. Martin read it greedily, and then inquired. Now where upon the plan, may this place be? Apostrophe, apostrophe, upon the plan? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Scatter. Yes. Apostrophe, he turned towards it, and reflected for a short time, as if, having been put upon his mettle, he was resolved to be particular to the very minute's hair's breadth of a shade. At length, after wheeling his toothpick slowly round and round in the air, as if it were a carrier pigeon just thrown up, he suddenly made a dart at the drawing, and pierced the very center of the main wharf, through and through. There. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, leaving his knife quivering in the wall, that's where it is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Martin glanced with sparkling eyes upon his company and his company saw that the thing was done. The bargain was not concluded as easily as might have been expected though, for Scatter was caustic and ill-humored, and cast much unnecessary opposition in the way, at one time requesting them to think of it, and call again in a week or a fortnight, at another, predicting that they wouldn't like it, at another, offering to retract and let them off, and muttering strong imprecations upon the folly of the general. But the whole of the astoundingly small sum total of purchase money, it was only $150, or something more than £30 of the capital brought by company into the architectural concern was ultimately paid down, and Martin's head was 2 inches nearer the roof of the little wooden office, with the consciousness of being a landed proprietor in the thriving city of Eden. If it shouldn't happen to fit, apostrophe said Scatter, as he gave Martin the necessary credentials on receipt of his money, don't blame me. Apostrophe, no, no, apostrophe he replied merrily. We'll not blame you. General, are you going? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am at your service, sir, and I wish you, apostrophe said the general, giving him his hand with grave cordiality, joy of your possession. You there now, sir, a denizen of the most powerful and highly civilized dominion that has ever graced the world. A dominion, sir, where man is bound to man in one vast bond of equal love and truth. May you, sir, be worthy of your adopted country. Martin thanked him and took leave of Mr. Scatter, who had resumed his post in the rocking chair immediately on the general's rising from it, and was once more swinging away as if he had never been disturbed. Mark looked back several times as they went down the road towards the National Hotel, but now his blighted profile was towards them, and nothing but attentive thoughtfulness was written on it. Strangely different to the other side. He was not a man much given to laughing, and never laughed outright. But every line in the print of the crow's foot, and every little wiry vein in that division of his head, was wrinkled up into a grin. The compound figure of Death and the Lady at the top of the old ballad was not divided with a greater nicety, and hadn't halves more monstrously unlike each other than the two profiles of Zephania Scatter. The general posted along at a great rate, for the clock was on the stroke of 12. And at that hour precisely, the great meeting of the Water Toast sympathizers was to be holden in the public room of the National Hotel. Being very curious to witness the demonstration, and know what it was all about, Martin kept close to the general, and, keeping closer than ever, when they entered the hall, got by that means upon a little platform of tables at the upper end, where an armchair was set for the general, and Mr. Lafayette Kettle, as secretary, was making a great display of some foolscap documents. Screamers, no doubt. Well, sir, he said, as he shook hands with Martin, here is a spectacle calculated to make the British lion put his tail between his legs, and howl with anguish, I expect. Martin certainly thought it possible that the British lion might have been rather out of his element in that arc, but he kept the idea to himself. The general was then voted to the chair, on the motion of a pallid lad of the Jefferson Brick School, who forthwith set in for a high-spiced speech, with a good deal about hearths and homes in it, and unriveting the chains of tyranny. Oh, but it was a clincher for the British lion, it was. The indignation of the glowing young Columbian knew no bounds. If he could only have been one of his own forefathers, he said, wouldn't he have peppered that same lion, and been to him as another brute tamer with a wire whip, teaching him lessons not easily forgotten? Lion! Cried that young Columbian, where is he? Who is he? What is he? Show him to me. Let me have him here. Here! Said the young Columbian, in a wrestling attitude, upon this sacred altar. Here! Cried the young Columbian, idealizing the dining table, upon ancestral ashes, cemented with the glorious blood poured out like water on our native plains of Chickabiddy Lick. Bring forth that lion! Said the young Columbian. Alone, I dare him. I taunt that lion. I tell that lion, that freedom's hand once twisted in his mane, he rolls a course before me, and the eagles of the great republic laugh ha, ha. When it was found that the lion didn't come, but kept out of the way, that the young Columbian stood there, with folded arms, alone in his glory, and consequently that the eagles were no doubt laughing wildly on the mountaintops. Such cheers arose as might have shaken the hands upon the horse guard's clock, and changed the very mean time of the day in England's capital. Who is this? Martin telegraphed to Lafayette. The secretary wrote something, very gravely, on a piece of paper, twisted it up, and had it passed to him from hand to hand. It was an improvement on the old sentiment. Perhaps as remarkable a man as any in our country. This young Columbian was succeeded by another, to the full as eloquent as he, who drew down storms of cheers. But both remarkable youths, in their great excitement, for your true poetry can never stoop to details, forgot to say with whom or what the Water Toasters sympathized, and likewise why or wherefore they were sympathetic. Thus Martin remained for a long time as completely in the dark as ever, until at length a ray of light broke in upon him through the medium of the secretary, who, by reading the minutes of their past proceedings, made the matter somewhat clearer. He then learned that the Water Toast Association sympathized with a certain public man in Ireland, who held a contest upon certain points with England, and that they did so because they didn't love England at all, not by any means, because they loved Ireland much, being indeed horribly jealous and distrustful of its people always, and only tolerating them because of their working hard, which made them very useful. Labor being held in greater indignity in the simple republic than in any other country upon earth. This rendered Martin curious to see what grounds of sympathy the Water Toast Association put forth. Nor was he long in suspense, for the general rose to read a letter to the public man, which with his own hands he had written. Thus, apostrophe said the general, thus, my friends and fellow citizens, it runs. Sir, I address you on behalf of the Water Toast Association of United Sympathizers. It is founded, sir, in the great Republic of America, and now holds its breath, and swells the blue veins in its forehead nigh to bursting, as it watches, sir, with feverish intensity and sympathetic ardor, your noble efforts in the cause of freedom. Apostrophe, at the name of freedom, and at every repetition of that name, all the sympathizers roared aloud, cheering with 9 times 9, and 9 times over. In freedom's name, sir, holy freedom, I address you. In freedom's name, I send herewith a contribution to the funds of your society. In freedom's name, sir, I advert with indignation and disgust to that accursed animal, with gore-stained whiskers, whose rampant cruelty and fiery lust have ever been a scourge, a torment to the world. The naked visitors to Crusoe's Island, sir, the flying wives of Peter Wilkins, the fruit-smeared children of the tangled bush, nay, even the men of large stature, anciently bred in the mining districts of Cornwall, alike bear witness to its savage. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.